We begin the current daf in Masechta Shkalim Daf Dal. Begin on the top line of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which is a continuation of the Mishnah that we had began on the previous daf. And that is, however, in certain versions, actually, this part of the Mishnah is its separate Mishnah, as is in the Pirush of the Tikkun Chadin that we'll be following, which is on the Amud base. So the Mishnah continues or begins, Ve'elu shechayov mekalbin. These are the individuals that are obligated in the kalbin. And that is because every single person has to bring a machtzis shekel, a half a shekel. And the shekel that's mentioned in the Torah is what is known in the Mishnah as a term of sela, which are two half a shekelim. So you have the two halves of shekelim, each half a shekel, you do two of them, that comes out to the sela, which is the term shekel in the Torah. Now since everybody had to give a half of that shekel, so ultimately the term ended up being called shekelim. But truthfully, it's really that one would not give a shekel, one would actually give a machtzah shekel, a half a shekel. Now, since every person had to do an exchange, they had to break up the sela, which they had, the shekel, into a half a shekel, so they would give a small coin by way of payment for that exchange by breaking up that larger bill, so to speak, that they had for the sela, the shekel, which they had to make it into half, which was called a kalben, because that's a two words, a contraction, a compound of kal ben. In other words, giving something small, which is kal, that they're adding on because of the exchange, which is bain, that's where the term kal ben is. So these are the individuals that when they give the machzah shekel, they also have to give a kal ben. They're the Levim, the Yisraelim, the Gerim and converts, the Avadim Shacharim and freed slaves. All these people that are obligated in the machzah shekel, they're also obligated in this kal ben. Avaloi kahanim, however, not kahanim, v'noshim or women, v'avadim slaves, uktanim and minors. And the reason is because since they're not obligated, as we had learned in the previous daf, at all in the shechiv of shkolim, however, it's only if they give the shekel that we accept the shekel from them, and therefore they're exempt from the kalban. It's only those that are obligated in the machtzah shekel that when they give, then they have to give also a little bit for that exchange from breaking up the shekel into the machtzah shekel. The Mishnah continues, Hashekel al yedei kohen. If someone's giving the shekel for someone else, who that someone else is a kohen, or al yedei isha, he's doing it for a woman, al yedei eved for a slave, al yedei katan or for a minor, then pater, that individual, when he's giving the machzah shekel for that person, will be exempt from the kalban. And that's because, as Tikkun Chatan explains, we're talking about over here, when you're giving a full shekel, which has two machzah shekels inside of that, for a kohen and a woman. And that is because, if he explains, if you were giving just a machzah shekel for the kohen, that wouldn't make sense to explain that, because even if the kohen himself was giving the machzah shekel, he would still be exempt from the kalban, as we already explained, the pinya of the Tanakhama, as will later be explained why that is. Now, the reason why we're saying that the one to give the shekel, a full shekel, for the kohen and the isha, or a kohen and the eved, for two of them, which are the two halves in this one shekel, why they're exempt from the kalban, is because they themselves are exempt from the machzah shekel. And giving it is only an act of chassidus, and therefore this machzah shekel itself is a total gain that the hekdesh really was not expecting, so to speak. And therefore, if someone's going to give the machzah shekel for them, but however, they'll still be exempt from the kalban. So again, we're not talking about giving the machzah shekel, because that itself, the kohen is exempt. We're talking about, hey, when you're giving two of them, for the machzah shekel, you're giving the kohen and the isha in one shekel, then the person that's giving it for them, he'll be exempt from the kalban. However, the contrast is what the Mishnah continues. Vim shekel al yodo v'yad chaveru. However, if someone's giving a full shekel, he's giving it for himself and he's giving it for his friend. So he's giving one full shekel, and that, you know, two halves equal one whole. Now they're giving it together to the hekdesh. On that, the halacha is, however, still chayiv b'kalban echad. The person would still be obligated in one kalban. And that is because every single person, when he has to give his machzah shekel, he would have to give that kalban to the Beis HaMikdash because of the chiluf, because of the exchange. And therefore now, although they're giving a full shekel, you still have to give, although they're not taking anything back because they're both giving the machzah shekel, you still have to give a kalban for that. Remeir says, Ni argus, he says, Beis kalbanis. He says you have to give not one, but two, as the Gemara will explain what's the reason for that. You're not even taking anything back. You're giving a full shekel. So you would say when you're giving the machzah shekel, you have to be giving at least one kalban. But why do you have to give two kalbanis? The Gemara will explain that. Now the Mishnah continues, Hanoisin sela. If someone gives a sela, again, which we said that's the shekel in the times of the Torah, where that's written in Torah Shabbik Sav, which are two half a shekels. V'neitel shekel, so he gives that that bill that's, let's say, a dollar, so to speak, and he takes back a shekel, takes back a half a dollar. So chayiv shnei kalbainas. So then the halach is that he's obligated in two kalbainas, and there's a machlekes on Miram and the Gemara, which opinion is this going in? Because we just had a machlekes regarding the prior case. If it's one kalbana two, there's going to be a machlekes on Miram and the Gemara regarding this case, about who it is that's saying that when you give a sell and you take back a shekel, that you have to give two kalbainas. Whose opinion? Is this Reb Meir or is that the Tanna Kamma? Now the Mishnah continues, HaShekel. And in the version of Tikkun Chatatin, this is its own Mishnah. So if someone gives a shekel, in other words, he gives a full sellout, Al Yad Oni, that's for the poor person, Vayad Shechena, and for his neighbor, or Vayad Ben Iroy, or for someone in his city, then Pater, then the person is going to be exempt from the Kalba. And the reason is, similarly like we said before, because since if he wouldn't give for them, for the poor person and for the others, they themselves would not have the wherewithal, the resources to give it. Therefore, it comes out this person that's giving it for them, it's a total gain for Hektish, and therefore he's going to be exempt from the Kalban. Now, Tikkun Chatatin explains the reason why it didn't say a case of for himself and for the pauper. Why did it have to say for the pauper and for a neighbor, or pauper and for someone else in the city? Why couldn't it be for him and the pauper? It's because according to Reb Meir, then at least you would still be obligated in one Kalban for himself. And we didn't want to mention the case of Machlekes, which would be involved in Machlekes Remei and Tanna Kamma, if in that case, when it's for yourself and for a pauper, if you'd be obligated in one Kalban. However, that's if you're giving it for them. Vimhilven Chai, but if you're lending it to them, they don't have right now, but you're lending it, you're not giving it to them as a gift, paying it for them, then there would be an obligation for the Kalban. Now the Mishnah concludes with Halacha, related to Halachas of Kalban, with a case of Ha'achin Hashutafen, brothers that are partners. Now it depends, and it'll be mutually dependent, and regarding the halacha, and that is shechayov mekalbin, if they're obligated in kalbin, which the Gemara will explain what the cases are, then patur mi ma'isa behema. Then they're exempt from the ma'isa behema when they have these behemas that they share. They can be exempt from giving a tenth of every animal as ma'isa behema. Whereas shechayov ma'isa behema, when they're obligated in ma'isa behema, then patur mi a kalbin, then they're exempt from the kalbin. And again, the Gemara will explain what these cases are. Now, the Mishnah concludes, v'kamahu kalban. How much is this kalban, the small amount that you have to give when you give the machzah shekel? So on that, there's a machloikis. First opinion says, ma'ah kesef. It's a silver ma'ah, which is 1/12 of the machzah shekel itself. The Remei, that's opinion of Remei. The chacham say, it's chatzi ma'ah. It's a half of a ma'ah, which would be 1/24 of the machzah shekel. Now, the Gemara explains our Mishnah, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, which was on the previous staff. The Mishnah said, which was continuing from the prior Mishnah, which was on the top of Gimel Amud Beis, that Afa Pisha Amru V'chulu, that even though we said, which was from the previous Mishnah, that we're not Mamashka Nakatanim, that is, although we start taking collateral from people that didn't give the Machzah Shekel when it's getting close to the due time, however, regarding minors, we are not Mamashka, we don't take collateral from them from there, what they would owe for the Machzah Shekel. However, the Gemara makes an inference, and that is, the Mishnah said, the term avalim shaklu mekabel yadim. However, if they give the shekel, then we accept it from them. Now that is mashma. That sounds like that it's only if they themselves decide to offer the machzah shekel, then we take it from them. Halatvaya ain't taifim. But it sounds like from this mishnah, the one which is we're continuing on this daf, that is which on the bottom of Gimel Beis, that however we cannot claim from them. Not only that we don't take collateral from them, we actually cannot claim from them the machzah shekel. But the difficulty is, because Hacham, over here, which is a reference to the Reisha, which is what's called in the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis on the top, Halacha Gimel, that is the prior Mishnah, says that we're not Mamashkin the Ketanim, but it's Mashma that, however, you could claim from them. And that is, At Omar Toivin, in the prior Mishnah, it said that we cannot take collateral. But what that sounds like is, but we could claim from them, look, we're not going to take what you have, but we're going to demand that you actually have to give the machzah shekel. Yet, v'hocha, over here in our Mishnah, what's called halacha dalid, atomar ein toivin, you're saying that not only that we're not mamashkin, we don't take collateral, but we're not even teveh, we don't even demand it from you, it's only if you decide to give it, as the term of the Mishnah was, avalim shaklu mekam v'yadim, but if they decide to give it, then we accept it. How do we understand that? Are we teveh, or are we not teveh? So that the Gemara answers, kan, over here in the Reisha, meaning in Mishnah Gimel, in the what's called Halacha Gimel, on top of Gimel and Beis, where we learned that we don't take a mashkin from the Ketanim, however, we would demand from them that you have to give them Machzah Shekel, is B'Shehevi Beis Iris, is where they finally had at least two pubic hairs, which makes them halachically an adult for all other halachas, we're there, we're not mamashkin, as we explained on the previous daf, that's only by age 20. However, we are tever that he should give the machzor shekel. V'kan, however, regarding our Mishnah, by the Seifa, halacha dalad, where it's mashma that we don't even claim from the children, from the minors, to give at all, that's b'shalah hevi beisaris. That's when they didn't even bring two pubic hairs, and that is, as we explained the previous daf from the Tikkun Chatan, that there's three variations in the halacha, what the halacha is, what we're calling a minor. Someone under 13, someone that doesn't have shtei saris, we're not mamashkin, and we're not even tevea. Somewhere between 13 and 20, we're tevea, we demand that it should give, but we're not mamashkin. Over 20 is when we're mashkin, that when we take collateral for the chiv machzor shekel that he owes. Now the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah again, which was from the previous daf, which is where we began our daf, continuing from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah then says, Hanachri v'hakuti v'chulu, that the non-Jew and the kuti, that we don't accept the machzor shekel from them. And not only that, we don't accept from them different karbanas, like kinei zavin, zavis, v'yaldis, certain karbanas, bird offerings that are brought for different impurities and for giving childbirth. So on this, Amar Abba says, tifter kemanda amar kuti kenachri, we should interpret that our Mishnah is like the one who says that a kuti has halacha like a non-Jew. In other words, when we read our Mishnah, it said that we don't accept from these individuals, which is a nachri and a kuti, we don't take from them a machzor shekel. And also these karbanas that are obligatory, we don't accept it from them. And that's going on the category of both, of kutim and nachrim. That even kutim, we don't accept karbanas that are that generally people are obligated, like zavin and zavas and yaldas. Now, if the question is, why wouldn't we accept karbanas from kutim? That is what the Gemara is saying, that we should interpret. It must be that the town of our Mishnah is going like the one who says that kutim have halachic status like non-Jews. The ispalkim, because it happens to be some machlekes, as we learn in the brisa. Kuti kenachri, devi Rebbe. Rebbe says that kutim have halachic status like a non-Jew, and therefore our Mishnah is like Rebbe. Pshim Gamliel Eimer, he says, no, kuti ki yisrael l'chol davar. A kuti has halachic status like a Jew for all halachas, and again, therefore, it must be that, as Rebbe said, that our Mishnah is going like Rebbe, not like Pshim Gamliel. However, Amr Blazer, Blazer says, he argues on Rebbe. He says, masnitin binachrim. Our Mishnah is going in regarding to non-Jews. In other words, this that it said in the Seifa, that we're not mekablim from them, kini zavim and zavas and yaldas, that was not going back on both kutim and nachim. That was only going back on nachim, on non-Jews. Haba kutim loy, but regarding kutim, we wouldn't say that. And that is because from kutim, we would accept from them karbanis that there's a chiyah for, which would be by zavim and zavas and yaldas. And that is because in regards to shkolim, to the machzor shekel, that's obvious, as it says in the pasuk in Ezra, that we don't accept the machzor shekel from kutim. However, regarding karbanis, that we would accept from kutim because they are like Yisrael, and therefore the Mishnah could be going like everybody, Rabbi Elazar says, not like Rabba, even like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, and that the Gemara says, V'tani kein, happens to be we learned like this interpretation of Rabbi Elazar, because it says in the pasuk in Vayikra, Adam, when it's talking about Karbanah, it says, Adam ki Yaakov mikem. So a person, that's Larabbah, it's a game that comes to include converts. And Kutim are also true converts. They're Geriamis, and therefore it would make sense, like Rabbi Elazar said, that everybody would agree, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that a Kuti is like Yisrael, and therefore we would accept the Karbanah from the Kutim, and it's only in regards to the Machzor Shekel that we don't accept from the Kutim. Then the Braisa continues, it says again in the Pasuk, Adam ki Yaakov mikem, that if a person will bring a carbon from you, that's mikem is from, it sounds like the exclusion is lohetzi esamumarm. However, that excludes a renegade, that's a person that denies certain halachas in the Torah, that person is excluded, but a ger is included from the term of Adam. However, now the Gemara asks, regarding this machlekes of Rabba and Rabbi Elazar, Masnitin Peligal Rabbi Elazar, it would seem that the Mishnah argues on this interpretation of Rabbi Elazar, and that is because it would be obvious from the Seif of our Mishnah that Kuti is like a Nachri, not like Rabbi Elazar wants to say, that's even like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that a Kuti would be like Yisrael. Because our Mishnah says, Eimekal Miyadam, we don't accept from them, again, that's up for debate, who is them? That is, Rabbi said it's going on both Kutim and Nachrim, and Rabbi Elazar wants to say it's only going on Nachrim. However, it says, what don't we accept from them? That kinei zav, and those are the pair of birds of that, the zav, that the male zav brings, and the zavois, kinei yaldois, and those are the pairs of birds of the woman who gives birth. Now, the Gemara says, v'chi yesh kinei zavin v'zavis b'nachrim? Would it even apply to have these karbanas of zavin, zavis, and yaldois for a non-Jew? And that is because it doesn't even enter the mind of the non-Jew to bring kinei zavin, to say that we don't accept it from them. And therefore, it's obviously, when the Mishnah tells us that we don't accept it from them, must be going on the Kutim. And therefore, it must be that Kutim Alek Nachrim, and that's what we're saying, that we don't accept it from them, because them is going on the Kutim, which is against the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. By that, the Gemara responds, so what do you want to say? Reish ben Nachrim, the Sefer B'Kutim? So what are you telling me? The beginning of the Mishnah is talking in reference to a non-Jew. And the end of the Mishnah is only talking about Kutim? And that is because the beginning of the Mishnah, that everyone agrees, is going on a Nachri and a Kuti. That a Nachri and a Kuti, we don't accept a Machtze Shekel from them. However, the end of the Mishnah that says, Ein Mekab Moyal, we don't accept it from them, you're saying that it must be talking about only the Kuti, not the Nachri, because which type of Nachri is bringing a Kini Zab and Zabas V'Yaldis? They don't even entertain to bring that. Now, if you explain the Sefer that it's talking about a Nachri, the way Rabbi Elazar wanted to say it, then it wouldn't be difficult, because you would say that the Reish is talking about Nachri and Kuti, and the Sefer is talking about only the Nachri, and it doesn't even talk about a reference to a Kuti, as Rabbi Elazar wanted to say, that not accepting from them is only going on the Nachri, because the Kuti we would accept, because it's like Rav Shem Galil who says, like Yisrael, because anyways, the Kuti is secondary to the Nachri, as it is in the Reisha. Because who is the main character? It's the Nachri. It's just like we would say that in this case, the Kuti is like the Nachri, that we don't take it from him. However, the Gemara's question is, the way you want to say right now, to refute Rabbi Elazar, is to say that it's like Rabba, and that is it can't be going on Nachri, it must be going on Kuti. So what comes out is that the main character, the Nachri, that we started off with, is the one that we're not even referencing in the Sefer, because we're only talking about Kuti. How does that make sense? Another Gemara says, no. Kenu, yes, that's exactly the case. Reisha b'Nachrim b'Sefer b'Kutim, the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about, which the main character is the Nachri, which includes also the Kuti in regards to the Halacha, that we don't accept the Machzah Shekel from them. But the Sefer, as we said, it has to be talking about Kutim. You're right, you have a good question, how that is, and that is because if the main one is Nachri, and then we're saying that we're not Mekalim from them, who's them? The main one is the Nachri, is saying that it's not talking about Nachri, because no Nachri is bringing. Kini Zab Mezavis V'Yaldis must be going on the case of the Kuti, that when we're talking about someone that we weren't talking about the main character in the beginning, we're not talking about him now. It's a good question. But again, as we had refuted Rabbi Elazar, it must be like that, because why would we say in reference to Nachri that we don't accept from them the Kidney, Zav, and Zav, when it wouldn't even entertain them for them to go ahead and bring it? And that's why it is as we had interpreted in support of Rabba. Now, regarding this halacha, that we're not mekabel from them, so Amr Rabbi Yechon said, B'tchila, in the beginning, and that is in the beginning of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, where we're concerned about what's called Rifyon. We're concerned about that there's going to be a weakening of our resolve to go ahead and build, as it says in the Pasuk actually, V'hi Ama'aretz Mirpin, that they were shvachening up, like it's called, they were not doing the job, and it was weakening their resolve. Then Eimakalmahem, then we don't accept from them, from the Nachrim, from the Kutim, we don't accept from them Loidav Mesuyim, not anything that's distinct, not even something that's not distinct. We don't accept from them anything, because we're concerned if they're involved, they're going to weaken the resolve of people. We're not taking anything from you. However, Ubisayv, at the end, which is just to support the Beis HaMikdash, it's already up. But what's called the Bedek HaBayis, for the bank account of the Beis HaMikdash to support the building, then we're not concerned about Rifyon. So then, Mekabel Mehen Davar She'ein Mesuyim, we'll accept from them a donation, something that's not distinct. But we won't accept from them something that is distinct. In other words, something that's chashiv and that's obvious and that is visible to the eye, that this is what they gave, that we don't take. Either because it's embarrassing for us to have from their things, or because they glorify themselves with, oh, look what I gave to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in Erechin explains that, what does it mean, something that's mesuyim, that's distinct? It would even be like there was an ama type of a tile that would be chasing away the crowds, that would have these type of spikes sticking out of that on the roof. Even that is something that we wouldn't take from them. And something that's not distinct, that we wouldn't even take in the beginning, is even water and salt. That's something that's not Muslim. We wouldn't even take that if it was in the beginning. So that's Rabbi Yechon's opinion. Pshim Malakashama, he says, and he argues, he says, whether in the beginning of when the building is going on, or even at the end when it's already built, just to maintain, we don't accept anything from them, no donations. Leidav mesuyim, nothing that's distinct, but leidav she'ein mesuyim, and not something even that's not distinct. Now, the Gemara asks, masnitin pliga al Rabbi Yechonon, it would seem from a Braisa that argues, and it's not like Rabbi Yechonon, because the Braisa says, ein mekabel mehen, we don't accept from them, neither hektish, v'nedav or donation, LeBedek HaBayis, that goes to the Bedek HaBayis to support the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Gemara entertains right now that that sounds like whether in the beginning, whether at the end. It doesn't make any differences. So now the Gemara gives two approaches. Either Pasala, you could interpret that Braisa that's talking about, yes, that's Bein B'tchila Bein Mesayif, as it doesn't differentiate if it's the beginning or the end. But Ublavad Dav Mesayif, but it's talking about something that's distinct, which that Rabbi Yochanan agrees we never take from them. Or Pasala interpreted that it's talking about, and the Gersa is changed to the word B'tchila, that it's talking about in the beginning, Shafila Mo'esav, that even if he's giving money, Yilichim Liyam HaMelech, you throw it to the Yam HaMelech, that we're not going to take anything from them, even Davash Ein Mesulim, and that's what the Brice is talking about. It's talking about the case of Betchila that Rabbi Yechim would agree. Now, according to Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, he said, Bein Betchila or Bein Mesulim, whether in the beginning or whether at the end, Ein Makat Mehem, we don't accept from them, Loidav Mesulim, Mechula, we don't take anything from them, whether it's distinct or not. Now, that the Gemara asks, Masnitin is a Mishnah in Erechin, Pliga Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that seems to argue in Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The Tanya, because we learned over there in the Mishnah in Erechin, which is talking about Erechin, which is when you give a certain value to a person, which are designated in the Torah, certain values to the person. So regarding a non-Jew, there's a machlekes Reman Yehuda over there. However, the Mishnah tells us that Hakol Shavin, everybody agrees, Shein Neidrin V'Nidarn, although there's a machlekes regarding Erechin, however, regarding a neder, taking an oath to give to the Beis HaMikdash, that everyone agrees that the Nachri could make a neder, and it could be the subject of the neder. Now, that's in all cases that the Mishnah is talking about, whether in the beginning or whether at the end, whether it's something that's davar mesuyim, it's distinct, or whether it's not. However, even if there would be a question on Rabbi Yochanan, it's most definitely a question to Rish Lakish, because he says, you never take anything from them. And here it's clearly, at some point, they're being noidiv and neder. You see that they are giving some type of a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, so to the Bedek HaBayis, so definitely seems to at least contradict Rish Lakish. And then the Gemara says, Pasala, you can interpret that it's talking about Oila. This that we said, that the Nachrim, everyone agrees, they could be Neider, they could make the oath, the vow, and they could be the subject of that, is talking about a carbon Oila. But for the Bedek HaBayis, you're right, they can never give anything even to maintain the Beis HaMikdash, that they cannot. And Rish Lakish was also, he was talking about the Bedek HaBayis that we don't accept from them. But regarding a carbon Oila, he would agree, and therefore the Mishnah Mesechtes Erechin does not contradict Rish Lakish's opinion. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Nicha Neidrin Oila. So, it would make sense for that interpretation regarding the case of Neidrin, that making the oath, of that it should be for a Karban Oila. But Nidarin Oila, what does it mean that he's the subject of the oath to be obligated in the Karban Oila? In other words, would he listen to us to say that if a Jew tells the non-Jew, he says, look, you're going to be the subject of the obligation of the Karban Oila. Is the non-Jew going to listen to then go ahead and be obligated to bring it? He didn't make the oath. He was the subject of the oath. How could you say if it's talking about a chiv to bring a carbon oila, that if he's the nidarin, if he's the subject, but that someone else made it for him, that he's going to bring it? How do we understand that? If you say it's talking about giving to the Bedek HaBayis, it means to say either that he's making the neder, or someone says he's going to give the neder of this value, let's say, of the non-Jew. But for the chiv of an oila, how could we understand that in the case of nidarin? Nothing more says that's not so difficult, because Elikusha Ami Yisrael, it's talking about when the Jewish person said, Hare Alai Oila. A Jewish person says for himself, I am obligated in the Chiv of the Oila. The Shama Nachi V'Amr, and the non-Jew heard, and he said in relation to what that Jew had said, Masha Amar Zeh Alai, what he said, I want the same. That's what the case of Nidarin is a reference to. Nidarin is when he makes it. And Nidarin, when he's the subject of it, means to say because he wants to be subject to what that Jewish person had done. And that makes sense, that then the non-Jew, the Nachri, would be obligated in both Nidarin and Nidarin. But again, it's not difficult to Rish Lakish, because for the Bedek HaBayis, we never take. And that's talking about for a carbon on the Mizbeach, which we do take. Now, based on this opinion of Rish Lakish, the Gemara has the following question. Now, you said that he's allowed to bring a carbon oil. He said we won't take anything for the Bedek HaBayis, for the bank account, for the Bedek HaBayis of the Beis HaMikdash, for the building fund. But we will accept carbonis from him. But when he brings his carbon, doesn't he bring with it nesachim, libations that are poured on the Mizbeach? Now, umaysin nesachim loyli kli sharis inun, where does the excess nesachim go to? Doesn't it go to purchase the kli sharis, the vessels that are used in the Beis HaMikdash? And therefore, if that's the case, nimtza comes out that maybe davar, and the girsa that's added is she'enu misuyim, isn't he giving at least something, albeit not distinct, but he's giving something to the Beis HaMikdash, which is in the form of Bedek HaBayis. It's not just a carbon, because his excess nesachim are being used to purchase things for the Beis HaMikdash. And that's difficult according to Rish Lakish, because he says we never accept anything that goes to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And that the Gemara says that Hesiv Reb Yisi B'Rabun, that Reb Yisi B'Rabun responded to explain and to answer Rish Lakish's opinion, says he answered with a question. He says, V'atanina, but we learned in the Mishnah Mesechtas Eirchin over there that says, Nerochin V'Eirchin, that they could be the subject of the Eirch, that someone could take the value of them, and they could go ahead and do the Eirch, take the value of someone else to have to give to the Bedek HaBayis. Now, Loi LeBedek HaBayis, you know, now where does the Eirch in value, when you give the Eirch value of a person, and we're saying that they could be obligated in it and be the subject of it. So where does that go? Doesn't it go to the Bedek HaBayis? And that's something that's distinct, and yet still we accept it from them. So how can we understand it? So obviously, what do we have to say? Heich ma da'at omer taman, that what do you have to say over there, that since he didn't intend it to go to the Bedek HaBayis when he's giving the erech value, l'shamayim hu miskaven, his intent was to give to heaven, he wanted to give to God, u'me'alein hein boin l'Bedek HaBayis. But by default, the process that we know happens when you give the erech value, we channel it towards the Bedek HaBayis. But that's not what his intent was, and therefore we allow him to give the erech, because although he's not allowed to give it to the Bedek HaBayis, that's not what he's giving to. It's just going there. Kein at amar af hacha. So what do you have to say over here? L'shamayim hu miskaven. This person, when he's bringing the carbon oil, which we allow him to, his intent is nothing to do with the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to bring a carbon. His intent is for heaven. We continue on Tamid Beis. U'me'alein hein boin. We take out the girsa, the Bedek HaBayis, and rather the girsa is likli sharis, and by themselves they come to the kli sharis. And that is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would not be forbidden to accept from them, only when they're giving it directly to the Bedek HaBayis. So too, according to Shimon Malakish, here where they come by themselves to the Kli Sharis, this Rish Lakish said that we don't accept from them at all, is only when he himself wants to go directly, I want to give for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, for the Bedek HaBayis, then we say we don't accept it from him. But to have his funds be channeled to the Bedek HaBayis, that was never a problem, and therefore since he's giving it to Shemayim, it just ends up happening that the leftovers of his Nesachim are going there, that was never a problem. Now, the Girsa takes out the words Ma'ovit La, and that is Rishimin Ben Lakish Pasala. Rishimin Ben Lakish interprets, and that is, he proves his opinion from the simple translation of the Pasuk that says in Ezra, says, Loi Lachem V'lonu Livnos Beis HaLikeinu, that they said to them, you know, it's not for you and for us to build the house for our God. Which that sounds like that any partnership with them was forbidden, whether in the beginning or whether at the end. And that supports his opinion that Nalik Rabbi Yechanan, that we won't take from them even at the end, even to maintain even something that's not distinct. Rabbi Chizkiya Amr Simon Shal, he asked, and as we previously mentioned, the term ask in Yerushalmi is really that he's just confirming his conviction in the halacha, is me'ata. So it comes out, based on this, that Eimakabal Mehen, that we don't accept from them, neither La'ama Samayim, not even for the canal that runs through the Azara, Ulochemes Ha'ir Umigdalasa, or for the wall of the city and for its towers, Al Shem, because based on what it says in the Pasuk in Nehemiah, is V'lachem Ein Chelik V'Gayman, that to you there is no portion, we never accept anything again, whether in the beginning or the end, or even something that's not Mesuyim. Now, we mentioned in our Mishnah, in the beginning of this daf, Elu Chayavim B'Kalban, that these are the individuals that are obligated in the Kalban, the small amount, either 12th or 24th of the Machzah Shekel, that you have to give along when you give the Machzah Shekel. Now the Girsois that are brought, some Girsois are brought down that take out the next four lines from the word Tani all the way down to the word Da'amer, and we continue with the word Masnita, which that word is also changed in the Girsois, into the word Maitaima, which the Gemara asks, Maitaima D'Remeir, what's the reason of Remeir? And that is, we had mentioned the Machlekes in the Mishnah, with the Tanakama and Reb Meir. The Reb Meir says that one is obligated in two kalbainas when he gives the machzah shekel together with himself and his friend when they're giving the one shekel. And that is because if it's based on the reason of this exchange, when you have to pay the money changer when you're exchanging, but then it would only have to be l'chaira one kalban, which is the opinion of the Tanakama. Why does Reb Meir hold that when they're giving both the machzah shekel and this one shekel, that you have to give not just one, as the Tanakhama said, but actually two kalbainas? So then the Gemara says, "Da'amar Reb Meir," because Reb Meir said, "Kishem shishikli Torah," just like the shekel itself is achiv min haTorah, it's biblical. Kach kalbonoiter, so to the kalbon, is not like the Tanakhama had understood. Rather, it's a chiv minatayr. And that is because Ksavar Meir held, benoisin shikli shalom, when you give a complete shekel, shu chayiv, and the gears has changed from a kalbon to shnei kalbonis, that you're obligated in two kalbonis, and that is because when you give a complete shekel, which are two half a shekels, for himself and for his friend, you're obligated in two kalbonis, because Meir holds that even for a half a shekel, you also have to give a kalbon, because that is an obligation min haTorah to weigh, to complete, so to speak, the half a shekel with the kalbon. And that is because the Amr Meir, because Meir said as follows, Kemin matbeya shel esh, there was a coin made out of fire, that Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisekevoy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out from under his throne of glory, v'hareu l'maisha, and he showed it to Maisha, v'amaloi, and he said to him, which is a pasuk in Shemais, zeh yitnu, this is what they should give, which the drasha is, kezeh yitnu, like this is what they should give. And that is because Ramei holds like this. From the fact that Hashem was particular, to show Moshe Rabbeinu a coin made out of fire and saying, like, this is what they should give, is that there should never be lacking from the Machzah Shekel that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. From the fact that it says, Zeyitnu, that like this is exactly like they should give, this is how it should always be. Now, since biblically, there's an obligation to give the entire half a shekel, we give along with that a small coin to round it off, to make sure that we got the complete half shekel as it was, that the exact coin that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is how it's learned in Tosefta, in the first parak in this sugya, that if someone gives a shekel, according to Reb Meir, he's obligated in the kalbon. Whereas according to the Chachamim, if someone gives the complete machzah shekel, in other words, a complete machzah shekel, not a shekel that is exchanging, you'd be exempt because there's no exchange. You're giving exactly what you're supposed to be giving, so you don't have to give a kalbon. Reb Meir says that even if you're giving a machzah shekel, you have to give along with that a kalbon. If you give, according to the Chachamim, if you give two dinarin, which is like, let's say, the machzah shekel would be, let's say, half a dollar, and the shekel, the seller, would be a dollar. So if one gives two quarters, two dinarin, then you would be obligated because then you're not giving exactly how it's supposed to be. But if you give a machzah shekel according to the Chachamim, you're going to be exempt. Why should you have to give a kalbon? And that is because your mayor holds that the obligation is min haTorah for the machzah shekel to give the kalbon with that. The Chacham hold, no, it's only because of the exchange. And when you give the full machzah shekel, there's no reason for the exchange. It's only if you give, like we said, two dinarim, which its worth is then, together as a half a shekel, then because of that exchange, that you're not giving exactly the machzah shekel, you're giving two quarters, let's say, so to speak, then you would have to give the machzah shekel. Together with that, the kalbon. And that's because they don't hold to this drush of zeyitnu, you have to give exactly which, and therefore we have to wade over what's called hechra with this kalbon. Rather, they darshan it for something else, as the Gemara explains elsewhere. And therefore, that explains the machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim regarding why in this case, when he's giving it for himself and his friend, two kalbonis, not just one, because although you're not giving exactly the machzah shekel, and that's why the Chachamim say you have to give one kalbon, because you're not giving exactly, so therefore for that exchange, for that they're taking and splitting up this shekel for you and your friend, Reb Meir says you have to give two, because each person's machzah shekel mandates min haTorah to give a kalbon, since there's two people here, so therefore there's an obligation for two kalbonis. Now in our Mishnah we said, Nosin Sela Litel Shekel, which we said when we quoted the Mishnah that there's going to be a machlokes and a ram, whose opinion is going like. So if someone gives a Sela, which again a whole shekel, which has two half a shekels in it, so he's giving, let's say, a full Sela, to take back a Machzah Shekel, Chayim Shnei Kalbonis, then he's obligated in two kalbonis. So again, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes and a ram, who is this going like? So Amr Blaz, Reb Blaz says, Dremehi, this is Dremehi, because Dremehi, because Dremehi said, Echad, one kalbon that you have to give is shekel shu nisen. That's for the shekel that you're giving. Like we said, every machzah shekel requires, and we use the term shekel really for the term machzah shekel, as we had explained before, that's the term that it was given. But for the machzah shekel that you're giving, that's a chiv min haTorah to give automatically a kalbon. Now, the echad in this case is, and the gears has changed to ledivri Torah. One is, which is truthfully like the other gears of seller shuhu naitel. In other words, for the seller that you're giving, that obligates you to give because of the exchange. And that's because Remei holds the two kalbonis is one is for the shekel that you're giving, and this that you didn't give a machzah shekel straight up, you gave a sela and you're exchanging it by the hekdesh, that's another one that you're obligated in for the exchange. So again, those are the two. One is the automatic one of the machzah shekel, a divrei Torah one, a biblical one, and one is because of the exchange, which Rami agrees to the chacham that because of the exchange, you have to add another kalban. And the Gemara says the tiny, like within the Brice that explains this, that it's going like the opinion of Rameir. That it says in the Brice, Ilchayov Mekalban Mechulu, these are those who are obligated in the Kalban, etc. So regarding the case of Nisen Sela, the Nital Shekel, when you give a full Sela, which has two Machza Shekels in there, and you're taking back one half a shekel, so in that the first opinion of the Tanakhama is Kalban Echad. You only have to give one Kalban. Rameir says, Beis Kalbainis, you have to give two Kalbainis again. That's who Rebbe Elazar is saying, is the Tana of that opinion that's mentioned in our Mishnah is going like Rameir, that he holds that there's these two obligations. However, the Gemara says, and the Gir says, Varava Marav says, he says, no, Divrei HaKolhi. This opinion is going like everybody. And that is because even Tanakhama would agree that in this case, there'd be an obligation of two Kalbainis. And it's, you can't compare it to the other case, which was the Machlokes Rameir and the Tanakhama, regarding when it gives a shekel to be for him and for his friend. Where then the Tanakhama said you only chayiv in one, because over there, when they're both giving their two machzah shekels with this one sela, when they have to go ahead and break up that sela for the two of them, now there they only have to give one kalban, because in such a case there's no other loss for the hekdesh. There's just this exchange, this breakup, which is one kalban worth that you're obligated in. However, over here in this case, it's as follows. If a person would have to go ahead and get a half a sela, he would have to give hekdesh a kalban. And that is because there's really two processes that are going on over here. There's one for the fact that you're not giving the machzah shekel, that you're giving a sela. For that alone, you have to give a kalban. But now also, when you want to get back the machzah shekel from the seller, you have to give another kalban. And that's why there's two kalbanis, because of the exchange. And that is, it's almost if someone was going and he was obligated to give a machzah shekel to the shulchanim. Now when he's paying up, he only has a seller. He doesn't have this shekel, this machzah shekel. So that automatically would require him to give one kalban to the shulchanim, to the money changer. Now, if he would ask back from the money changer to say, look, you know, I only owe you a half of that sela, give me back a half of that, give me back that machzah shekel from the sela, then he would also have to give another kalban for that. And therefore saying that hekdesh shouldn't be any worse than the shulchani, in the sense of when you have to give someone something, you have to pay him up exactly as you owe him. If you give him even a greater denomination, so that itself says, look, you know, you didn't give me exactly how it should be, that gives that you owe me one kalban. Now, you want to have back that half that you don't owe me for, that's another kalban. And that's where Rav is saying that according to everybody, there'd be an obligation, in this case of two kalbanis, which the Gerser then takes out, the Amrib Meir. And that is, what are these two kalbanis that you'd be chayv, according to Tanakam, is echad shekel shu naisen. One is the shekel that you're giving, because since you're not giving exactly how you're supposed to be giving, you're giving maybe double, but it's still a sela. It's not half of that, which is what we call, quote, shekel, which is really the matzah shekel. The echad shekel shu naisen, not that you want to take back, that also requires another kalban. And the Gersa takes out the words of echad l'divrei Torah. So the Gemara concludes from this, what comes out of Rav's opinion is al daiti de Rav, based on this interpretation of Rav, where he just said that even Tanakhama would agree, and that the opinion is like everybody, that you would have to give two kalbainis, it comes out that gimel kalbainis inun, that according to Rameir, truthfully, you're going to have to give three kalbainis. And that is because it wouldn't make sense to say that your mayor is more lenient in the kalbanis that you're obligated because of the exchange of the coins, of the currencies, than what the Tanakhama had said, which Tanakhama was the more lenient one in the case of when you're doing it for yourself and for your friend. And yet still, Rav is explaining that in this case, the Tanakhama would hold that you would have to give two kalbanis, because one is what you're giving wrong, and then what you're taking, so to speak, wrong, that would require two kalbanis. Most definitely, Rameir has to agree to that, because it wouldn't make sense that he would argue on that svara to say that it would only be one and not two in such a case. And they were according to Rameir, where he also holds that there's the general, generic obligation for every machzah shekel min ha-tayra to give the kalban, it would come in such a case that it would be three kalbanis you would have to give. And therefore, it's not really just two, according to Rameir, it really would be three. The two that the Tanakhama, which Rav is saying Tanakhama would agree to, for what you're giving, what you're taking. And then it would be another one for the one of Torah. And now the Gemara supports it with Amiram that said this explicitly in the name of Rav. That Asur Rabbi Yirmiyah said that Reb Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok B'Shem Rav said that Shleisha Kabbanis in truth, in this case, according to a mayor, there's three Kabbanis. Echad Shekel Shru Nason. One is the Shekel that you're giving. You didn't give exactly. That's you have to give a kabbalah for that. Ve'echad shekel shunet. One is for the half that you're taking back. Ve'echad ledvar tara. One is the biblical commandment. No matter, even if you gave exactly a machzor shekel, according to a mayor, that itself would mandate the kabbalah, and therefore comes out according to a mayor that there's going to be three kabbalahs. Now the Gemara goes and continues explaining our Mishnah. That towards the end of our Mishnah it said, ha'achin v'hashutafin spoke about brothers that are partners. Now, the Mishnah made a difference regarding the, it almost made it interdependent regarding the chiv of the kalban and the exemption of ma'isa behema, and exactly the opposite, that if you're chayv in ma'isa behema, then you're going to be exempt from the kalban. So now, our Gemara explains this case and shows what the cases are. Shechayav in bekalban, when we said that you're obligated in the kalban, and then we said, therefore, upetorin mi ma'isa behema, then you're going to be exempt from ma'isa behema. That case is talking about b'shechalku v'chazer v'nishtatvu. So again, we're talking about brothers that are partners, is that they split the Yerusha, the inheritance they got from their father. They split it up already, they apportioned to everyone, and then they became partners again, they rejoined. Therefore, in such a case, they're obligated in the kalban, because once they split up the resources, the money that they inherited from their father, and now they're giving one selah for the two brothers, it's as if they're borrowing one from the other, and hence it's really like two different people. When we said two different people, then you have to give for each one individually. Now, in such a case, they're going to be exempt from Ma'isa Behema, because any Behema, a flock, that's owned by partners is exempt from Ma'isa Behema. And since we're looking at them as if they're partners, not like one entity, which we're going to discuss in the next case, we look at them as two separate people that just joined together, and that's why they're obligated in the Kalban. But that, for that reason itself, is that they're exempt from Ma'isa Behema, as it's taught in the Brayis in Masechtas Bechayrus. It says in the pasuk, "Kol peta shege behema sheyia lacha," it'll be for you, which that says just for you, an individual, not that of partners. Now, although that pasuk is talking about Bechayr, the Gemara there explains that although it's talking about, it's not talking about Ma'isa Behema, it's talking about Bechayr, that we can learn that out from the halacha, and therefore any partnership is exempt from Ma'isa Behema. And the case that when they're obligated to give Meiser a tenth of every animal, and then we said hence upeturim in the kalban, that then they're exempt from the kalban, that's b'shalei chalku, that's when they didn't split up, which that's called, quote, tfusis habayis. That is, the father's estate is intact. Now, everyone has a shear in that. But that's why they're going to be obligated in Meiser behema, because as the Gemara there explains, that you would think that they would be exempt even from this case of Tuvisus Habayis, because they're all partners, all the sons, and that what the Pasuk says, yeah, therefore they're going to be obligated in Ma'isa Behema, because it's like one person's estate, which is obligated in Ma'isa Behema. But therefore they're exempt from the Kalban, because as long as it's in the state of Tuvisus Habayis, it's not considered as if that they're one person is lending the other brother when he's paying the full seller for the two of them. It's rather, it's the father's estate. It's one thing, one payment, and hence, that would not require an extra kalban for that extra person, and therefore they're exempt from the kalban. Now, the Gemara says an explanation for this, and it has a machlekes. Amar Blazer, Blazer says this that we said, that if they split it up, that then there's no more tfusis abayis, there's no more estate over here anymore. We see different owners. Every son is a separate owner, and then we view them as therefore partners, and therefore the halacha would be both related for the halacha of kalban and for the chiyuv of ma'isa behema. That was only v'hein shechalku gedoyim. That was only if they split up kids. In other words, they valued the money. They said, okay, you know, this is worth this amount. You're going to get kids, which are the younger ones. Keneged tiyashim, in relation to the rams, the older ones, or v'tiyashim keneged gedoyim, or this one will get the rams, the older ones, in regards to the other one getting the younger ones, the kid goats. Now, in such a case is when we say the entire, quote, Yerush inheritance has already been dissolved. And it's as if each person had purchased it on his own from the market, and now we join together. And there, in that case, there's no more tfus abayis, there's no more estate. It's a new partnership. It's a new corporation that we're creating. But if he didn't get a gedi, and for that value he got a ram. Rather, for that ram, for that kid goat, he got a kid goat. The tiyashim connected tiyashim. And for him getting the ram, he got a different ram. Which, what that essentially means is that are the laws of inheritance. And that is, each person gets from every single type one thing. And everyone gets from that thing. In such a case, that we say that that's the exact portion that he was supposed to get originally, which is the halachic status of Breira. And therefore, we still view them as Yarshim, as inheritors. And therefore, when they go back and they join a new partnership, essentially what they're doing is they're really going back to the state of Tshuas Habayis. And the estate is still there. Hence, they're going to be viewed as one unit, and therefore they're going to be chayv ma'is beimer and exempt from the kalban. Because when they're coming back, they're really coming back to Tshuas Habayis, because the status of inheritance is still there. We still view them as Yarshim of this one estate. Rabbi Yochanan argues in this. He says, no. Even if we split up that you said, which is the halachas of Yerusha, that he got a kid goat, he got a kid goat. He got a ram, he got a ram. V'tiyashim neged tiyashim. Still the halacha is kilikuchasin. We'll view them as purchases. We're not going to look at them as inheritance anymore when they join back together again because of the status of embrayer. We don't say that this is exactly what was supposed to be from the Yerusha. Rather, we see them as separate. And therefore, Peturim and Maisa, they would still be exempt from Maisa. We don't view it as one estate, which would be one person owning the behemoth. And therefore, since they're separate people, it's considered Shutfis, it's not Lucha, and therefore they'll be exempt from the Maisa. And therefore, because as we just explained that we view them as Lekuches, it's Kahud de Tanin Tanam, and it's like that what we learned over there in Masechtas Bechairis that says, Halakuach, that which is purchased, which again is what we're viewing them as purchases, or v'shenit lebematan, that was given to him as a gift, pater mi ma'isa behema, then the person is exempt from ma'isa behema. We don't view it again anymore as the estate itself. And again, that's why the case is, since we view them as lekuches, that it will exempt the person from ma'isa behema. It's not the original tvus habayis, not the original estate anymore. And that's why he argues in Rambam, and he says that because of ein breira, we don't view it anymore as when they come back together, they're the original unit. Rather, it's like Lekuches, which are part of a Ma'aseh Behemah.